Welcome to the Hyper Fat Show, where we believe unlimited growth in business and life is created by surrounding yourself with people who have been where you are going. Learning from others allows you to compress time and grow hyper fast. And now, here are your hosts, Kerry Scholl and Dan Lesniak. Kerry and Dan are real estate developers, best-selling authors, billion-dollar agents, and million-dollar agent makers. And now, get ready to grow hyper fast.
Welcome to the Hyper Fast Agent Show. Today, I've got a real special guest. He's been an agent for over 17 years. For the past several years, he's sold over 100 homes as a solo agent. Now has a free coaching program called Zero to Diamond. He's on a mission to help reduce the failure rate in the industry at one agent at a time. So please welcome Ricky Carruth to the show.
Guys, I appreciate you having me on, Dan. Thanks for reaching out. Good to connect with you, and I like everything you're doing as well.
Thank you, thank you. And I've been following you as well. We met a little while ago, and it's been great to see you and what you're doing and kind of the way you've implemented some of the Gary Vee strategy, both with your business and real estate, both the coaching that you're doing, the big following that you're building on social media and elsewhere. But let's start with a little bit of background on you. Tell us about your real estate journey.
Yeah, man, it has really been a journey. That's a good word for it. 2002 was the beginning. You know, I roofed houses with my father before that. Got in real estate. I failed a history class in college. Went to two colleges in 4 years and decided that was not for me. And took the real estate course, which is one course to get your license, got in real estate, thought I was done with roofing, worked in the office for 30 days, didn't sell anything, had to go back to roofing. Now I'm roofing and doing real estate, trying to figure it out. 8 months later, 8 long months later, I sell property. It's my grandmother's condo. But I actually sold another condo too that month. I had two closings actually on the same day. Was my first closing, two closings on the same day. And then from there, I sold two a month for a while. Then the market blew up. This is back 2002. So 2003 and 2004 were the years where the market really exploded.
Right.
And I'm in Gulf Shores, Alabama, Orange Beach. We're right on the Florida state line. I'm looking at million-dollar condos out my window right now. On the beach. There's white sandy beaches, palm trees. It's really kind of one of the country's best kept secrets, to be honest with you. But we have about 6 million visitors every year. There's about 15, 16,000 population. So really small town beach tourist kind of place. I love it. And it's grown a lot over the last couple of decades, but prices doubled in a couple of years. I'm 23 at this point, self-made millionaire. Don't know what to do with my money. So I buy a bunch of cars and houses and toys. And I try to invest a lot of it too, you know, just to recoup some of the dumb decisions I made. And, you know, acquired a lot of debt through the process. So when the market crashed, I crashed. I try to hang on. I had some cash reserve. I spent it all trying to hang on, not thinking the crash was going to be as long as it was. It finally took me completely under. I foreclosed on several things, had nothing. I had a car somebody gave me and my cell phone. My cell phone bill was the only bill that I had on top of keeping my license active. That was literally all I had. I was sleeping on friends' couches and I went back to roofing houses and I eventually found a job on an oil rig. I worked there for a year. So, yeah, interesting time. So when I lost everything, that's when I decided I was really going to figure out why I lost everything. I wanted to really dig in. I was really curious to why, you know. I'm the hardest working guy. I feel like I'm pretty smart. You know, how did I lose all this? And I knew that I was actually happy when this happened because I knew that I was going to learn what I did wrong, come back stronger, and never lose it again. I knew all this was going to happen. And to be honest, man, I work harder now than I did when I was on the oil rig. At least on the oil rig, 12 hours goes by and you're done.
Right. And
this is 24/7 because not only am I, like you said, selling 100 properties a year as a single agent, I'm coaching 11,000 agents in a free real estate coaching program where I'm answering every single Instagram DM, every single comment, every single email, everything. I'm maintaining all that. I'm also running all my social media platforms. I'm posting every single thing. I'm commenting everything. I'm writing all the text. I'm doing all my Facebook ads, Instagram ads, YouTube ads. I'm managing all that stuff myself. So it's definitely a 24-hour thing. But back to the story, I got back in after that. What I realized was that the first half of my career was all about the deal. And that's what we're taught when we get in the business. And something clicked at some point, and I realized it's about the people, not the deal, not the money. And when I realized this, and I flipped it, and I got laid off from the oil rig, and I was forced back into real estate. But luckily enough, I was already dabbling in real estate and talking to people and trying to put stuff together. I had a couple things cooking, and I ended up closing a few things there right when I got laid off, and I was able to kind of get a little momentum there with a little financial cushion with some closings. And I was off to the races, and I said, this is going to work this time. So I put the work in. That was 2008. It took me to 2014 to actually hit 100 deals. So imagine that. Around 2007 is when I actually understood it was about relationships over transactions.
Right.
But then it took me another, say, 6 or 7 years after I realized it, another 6 or 7 years of grinding to get to that 100 deals. And so people think it's instant. People think it's just going to happen immediately. And even if you have the knowledge, there's two kinds of knowledge. There's the knowledge you get from listening to this podcast right now and reading books and going to seminars and watching YouTube. And then there's the knowledge you get from real life experience. And if you don't have both, you're not going to excel. If you don't have experience, you're not going to do anything. If you just sit around and watch and listen and all that, nothing. If you don't take action and then learn through the experiences of losing and failures and rejection, you're not going to go anywhere in life. So 7 years, man, after I realized the secret to all this, and I didn't know it was the big secret at the time. I just knew I was onto something. 7 more years before I hit it. So there was another little part of it. In 2010 was the BP oil spill. The BP oil spill hit our area hard. It scared everybody off. It scared all the tourists off. It scared agents out of the area. Sellers were dumping their properties. And I was excited because I could use my new philosophies on this little mini recession and see if I'm right about, you know, closings happening every day, regardless of market conditions, businesses that are limited forever, you know, relationships over transactions, all the stuff I teach. And I made more money that year. I went from 100,000 in 2009 to 150 in 2010. So I went up 50% in a down year. And that was my big, huge aha moment in real estate that I really, really, really onto something. And that's when I really just, I moved to Remax at that point and I just took off. And by 2014, I was selling 100 a year. When I got there, I'm thinking, is this real? You know, because I've been here before and I lost it all. So I'm thinking, is this real? And so, you know, I wanted to continue grinding and make sure. I didn't want to leave anything on the table. So 2015, I did it again. 2016. By 2016, I was thinking, I think this is real. And I started contemplating about writing a book. And I started dabbling with it. And at the end of 2016, I did a speech in Biloxi, Mississippi, at a Remax event. And the people were so receptive to what I was saying that it kind of motivated me and really pushed me to finish the book. I said, I have to finish this. What I'm saying is resonating. It's going to help a lot of people. And that's when I wanted to finish the book, which is called Zero to Diamond. And a funny thing, I finished the book and then sent it to my editor. When I sent it to the editor, I was like, man, I forgot all this stuff. There was all this stuff in my head still. I was like, man, I left all this stuff out. So I immediately just started like nothing even stopped, but just kept writing. And by the time he was done editing, which only took a couple weeks or whatever, by the time he was done editing it, I literally traded him that first one for the second one. And I was like, here, edit this one too. And it's called List to Last, How to Survive Every Real Estate Market Crash. And he started editing that one. So I dropped 2 books really quick because I had all this stuff built up in my head. Now I release all that information that's in here through YouTube. When I have something, some idea, and I really got to get it out, and I really just got to release it, out to the public. I just make a video about it, and that's kind of how I release that now, because I haven't wrote another book. I want to write another book, but it's going to be a while, because I want to build, I want to keep going in the direction I'm going and really build my audience and help people. So to end the story, been selling 100 properties ever since, and just really love real estate and just really love people and helping people do what they want to do. And through coaching and through watching Gary Vee motivated me and pushed me to actually do the coaching for free. And I was charging for it. And at one point, I'll skip the details there, but I switched to free and so many amazing things started to happen. So then here recently, I thought, why don't we do real estate for free? Help people in real estate for free. So my newest thing was helping for sale by owner for free, where I did a video about it. And then I did live calls where I was calling for sale by owners to help them for free. And I got a listing. I got a listing that day, not for free. You know, the freeness is I'm going to give you the best advice to sell it. I'm going to show you how you can use flatfee.com or whatever to put it on MLS. I want to make sure you get professional pictures and the best remarks. I want to try to help you look at the comps and make sure that it's priced right and really try to help them, not hold anything back, really try to give it all to them. And then what happens, they appreciate it so much that now I'm their agent for life. And if they sell it themselves, they'll buy through me. If they decide two or three months down the road, they want to list it, they'll list with me. If they sell it themselves and go away, that's okay too, because don't we all lose deals all the time? It's a numbers game, you know? So as long as your intentions are right, this is what I've learned at the end of the day. Your intentions are right. Everything will work out. If you're working hard and trying to contact enough people, don't get hung up on one deal. You know, that's a big problem with the industry too.
Wow. There's a lot of great stuff in there. I can't wait to dig into it. It really is. I mean, so many things stand out. I like the part about doing, you know, going up 50% in a down market. And I think a lot of people make the mistake of calling the market good or bad. And yeah. There's no such thing as a good or bad market. There's up markets and down markets. Whether it's good or bad or not is all in your head. Like people need to buy and sell when prices are going down. They need to buy and sell when they're flat and when they're going up. And you seem to get that early on and take advantage of that. And if anything, you know, the bad market, as agents incorrectly call it, is an opportunity to go out and grab more market share. So walk us through that a little and what that looked like back then in 2010. I assume maybe you were picking up some really great investment opportunities as well with the volume you were doing, you know, on the sales.
Dude, I love that you said market share, because there's a lot going on with the word market share, right? There's the fact that I believe market share is not how many transactions or listings or you know, business you have. It's what agent has the most real lifelong relationships with property owners in the area. Whoever has the most of those owns the entire market, period. And when I, in the down market, one of the 100 books I read was called Shift by Gary Keller.
Right.
And it's an excellent book. Have you read it?
Yeah. I read that one probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Dude, I read that at the bottom of the market, man. And I was like, oh my gosh, this really? I mean, it really opened my eyes up to how the whole game works. And it's an incredible book. One of the things in that book talks about exactly what you said. You might have got it from the book. When the market's down and all the agents leave, there's so much market share just laying on the table there for you. You put the work in to talk to the people, create the relationships, and build the rapport. Even if they don't do anything right now, when the market rebounds, they are going to do something. And if you create as many of those as you can when the market rebounds, your business explodes. So when I got back in the business in 2008, that was the stock market crash. And everybody wants to associate the stock market crash with the real estate crash.
It's different.
It's not the same thing. The real estate started to come down in 2005 in my area, maybe 2006 or seven in other areas. It's different per area, but it was before 2008 is when real estate started to go down. And I got back in 2008. Now the real estate market was coming down, and 2008 happened, and then it continued to go down from there. And I did exactly what you're talking about. 2008, you know, I made about 90 grand and I was happy. I was twice as much as I made on the oil rig, risking my life the year before. in 2010, make $100,000. And, you know, I'm like ecstatic at this point. And I'm still not really to where I really want to pony up and buy a property yet. You know, I don't. But 2011, when I made that money during the oil spill, I made more money and it gave me all that confidence. I did pick up a couple properties and really glad I did. I still own those properties right now. And they've actually doubled in price. And I rent them out, you know, and it's just been a great situation. But here's the thing about markets crashing. Closing, what I learned is the bottom line, regardless of what the market does, closings continue to happen every single day. There's not a day that goes by, there's not a closing. It might go down to from 100 to 10, but there's still 10 closings. That's 20 opportunities to represent a buyer or seller in one day. There's 30 days, sometimes 31 or 28 days in a month, you know, and all you need is 1, 2, 3, 4 deals a month to really, you know, excel. I mean, to be honest with you. So, I mean,
now, you know, I'll just jump in real quick. If you do 4 deals, you know, out of 20, as opposed to 4 deals out of 100, you've got, you know, what is 20% of the market share versus 4%, right? The same amount of work.
Exactly. You know, and if you're putting, you know, if you're putting the pieces of the puzzle together when the market's down, the last stages are in the business, and you're the one doing all that business, then you have more past clients. Whenever the market comes back and these agents come back in the business, well, they're late to the game now. You've already established all these clients and all this business, and you have all this market share in the palm of your hands. And that's what happened to me. In 2008, I really hit it hard. 2009, 2010, all the way. I'm still hitting it hard. The market is still crashed to me, Dan. Like I'm still, it's still falling. You know, like in my mind, I'm still every day. I'm starting over at zero, and I'm fighting like hell to make it to the top of the mountain. So, but closings happen every day. Another thing I want to shed a little light on is the fact that business is unlimited for every single agent. Nobody, the competition does not exist at all. People are so concerned with the competition, and there's this agent doing that, and there's this agent dominates that area and all this stuff. It doesn't exist. What if 15 agents are calling expireds? Well, they haven't talked to you yet. You have a unique personality that no one else on the face of the planet has. You have certain ways about you. The way that you talk, walk, act, move, the way you look, everything is different. And until that prospect experiences who you are, you don't know if there's a connection or not. It doesn't matter about all the other agents. It matters about you and the prospect, which is a human that we have to connect with and do our best. And our job is people. You know, we're not in the real estate business. We're in the people business. So, yeah, I mean, it's you cannot lose if you understand these principles. It doesn't matter where you get your leads from. I'm a big circle prospector. I like picking out a subdivision, calling them, and connecting with them voice to voice. I think voice to voice is the reason why technology will not replace real estate agents. But I don't care if it's Facebook leads or Zillow or for sale by owners, expireds, or wherever your leads come from. To me, it doesn't matter. It's all right. The same stuff. It's unlimited for each and every agent. There's a process, and there's more than you can handle. Go get yours.
That's a great point. You know, I was looking at numbers today, actually, because I'm always kind of checking where, how's our team doing? What do the numbers look like? And, you know, we're number one in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, that kind of region. But in our particular county, Arlington, we've been number one for a while by a lot, like 3 or 4 times the next person. And we're only at 4% market share in that county.
Right.
So we're huge above everyone else. Like I always tell the, you know, our other team members and agents in the area, like our biggest competition is not the second agent, the third agent, the fourth agent. It's the guy's aunt or uncle or neighbor who's a real estate agent. Like it's, you know, there's just opportunities for everyone. And even with us, you know, being number one, we're only at 4%. Anyone could come into our market in our exact street and do 20, 30 deals year one. Easy. I mean, there's so much opportunity.
If they have the right mindset and they understand these principles, if they go into it thinking this is hard, I'm scared to make calls, I don't know if they're going to like me. Are they going to ask me a question I don't know? How do I compete with a high producer? I've never sold anything. If they think like that, then they're done.
Right.
You have to walk into the situation to be a new agent and own it. You have to say, yeah, Mr. Seller, I'm a new agent and you want me because I have 8 hours a day to spend on just your deal.
Yeah.
Where is your property going to be in the priority list of the high producer doing 100 deals a year? You know, not going to be number one, definitely not going to have 8 hours a day on his hands to work on just your deal like me, you know? And if that doesn't work for you, Mr. Seller, that's good. Good luck to you. Have a good day. I'm going to talk to somebody who wants a worker, you know, and be confident. And when people reject you, say, great, you're lost, you know, because guess what, Mr. Seller or buyer, it's unlimited. I'll just go get five more.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I distinctly remember back in my first year, I would use that all the time. I'd say I was trying to break into a new neighborhood. You know, it was my first sale and I'm competing against someone who's done 50 sales in there. And I would say, look, I might do a bad job, but if I do a bad job, I'm not getting another chance in this neighborhood again for a while. He's done 50 deals. Like, he can screw it up and he's got 49 other deals that he can point to as evidence in his next appointment. So I'm more incentivized, you know, than him. He may do a better job, but I've got more incentive. And it's been funny to watch, like, that's kind of used against us now by other agents. So that's a great point.
And it's cool. I would love to see an agent get a listing over me because of that. You know, that would be awesome because I would take that future time that I just got back that I don't have to spend on that deal anymore and go make five more relationships. It's crazy how much of a win-win it is and unlimited it is. It's enough for everybody. As much as they can handle, it's there. It's like a buffet.
Yeah, it really is. If you've got the right mindset, the right attitude, and are not willing to put in the work. Let's talk about the free sales for a second. Walk me through that. You do 100 or so deals. Like, how many are you doing for free?
I don't do a deal for free.
Okay.
Right? I will help you and tell you, Mr. For Sale by Owner, how to put on MLS yourself. I will help you make sure you pay for and have professional pictures. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not going to pay for any of it. I'm not going to do any of the work. I'm not going to handle showings. I'm not going to do closings. I'm not going to do any of that. But I do want to help you for free. I don't want to charge you anything. I don't want you to list it with me. I don't want any of that. I literally just want to help you get this thing sold as quick as you can for the best price. I'm gonna tell you how to do it. You know, whether you take my advice or not, it's up to you. Doesn't matter to me. I'm just doing it for free.
Are you a real estate agent with friends or clients moving to or from the DC, Maryland, Virginia area? Send them to the number one team in the area. The Kerry Schell team will ensure they get world-class treatment and the best possible results buying or selling their home. The Kerry Schell team has the best training, systems, and marketing, and we proudly guarantee our results. To refer us business, call the Kerry Schell team at 703-589-9067 or go to referkerryschell.com.
So I'm not, you know, I have no incentive to lie to you or to tell you a lower price because I'm trying to get a sale, because I'm not trying to get a sale. I can tell you exactly what it is. It's the same thing with the free coaching. When I'm at a speech, giving a speech, I can tell people exactly what my phone script is, exactly what I do, just step by step. And they know it's real. Why? Because I'm not charging a dime. It's the same thing. So when people know that there's not anything on the back end, some kind of incentive for you to do this or that or tweak this or try to make this happen, then they let their guard down and it gives them an opportunity to get to know who you really are. That's the secret behind free, is it lets people's guard down long enough to get to know, are you really who you say you are? And then once they figure out yay or nay, if it's yay, you are who you say you are. Now there's a working relationship, right? It's like, okay, I want to do it for free. Oh, really? Well, cool. What about this and that? Okay, wait a minute. He is really free. He really wants to help us. Cool. Yeah, Ricky, he's our buddy now. Now you have a working relationship, and now we move to the next step. If they want to list it, cool. If they don't, that's cool. If they sell, they're self, cool, right? It's a numbers game. And so what we have to understand is that since business is unlimited, we don't have to care if people buy or sell anything with us. because there are going to be people that do love us and do want to do deals with us. That's just the bottom line. And so if you have faith in yourself that people are going to be, you know, on your team to do deals, then you don't have to worry about if this one person in front of you is actually going to do a deal or not. What does that do, Dan? It makes that person want to do a deal with you.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, none of the 100 deals are free. I don't do the deal for free. Here's why for sell-by owners need a real estate agent. It's not because MLS. It's not because they need exposure. In today's world, anybody could get the same exposure as a real estate agent. Now that Zillow's around and all the syndicated websites, it's over for us as far as exposure goes. Where do we have to show our value? We got to show our value on the servicing of the listing, the setting up of the showings, the handling the buyers that ask for information that never made offers, but you got to give them the information because you don't know if they're going to make the offer. You got to get them all that stuff. That's work. And when the seller starts to get that exposure themselves, and they get all these buyers coming in, and now they got to set this up and set that up and deal with this person and deal with that person and send this person information, and they start to get wore down on the actual work. Now they're like, wait a minute, real estate agents do really work. You know, most people think real estate agents just sign a piece of paper and go get thousands of dollars. When we're on the back end of this thing, you know, grinding away like a little gerbil. So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, people need agents for the process of the deal in today's world, not the servicing, not the exposure. They need the servicing, not the exposure.
Okay, so you're getting lists of for sale by owners. You call them up, and I assume you kind of just say, hey, I'm calling to help, and have you done A, B, and C, and if you want to maximize it, you need to do this, and maybe you send them a checklist or contacts or how to do what? Like how exactly does that work?
Yeah, like I did a video on this, and it's like, that would be more like the traditional way to try to help a for sale by owner, and you got the checklist and you send them this, and I don't have any documents or anything. I like for my voice to be the thing that seals the deal with people. And so when I call them, I don't really come out the bag and say, I want to help you for free. I call them and say, hey, how you doing, man? I'm calling about that house. What's the story on it? What can you tell me about it? And I get them talking about it, you know, and then I'm like, why are you selling it? And through them telling me their story, a lot of times I'll find out that, hey, they've already got a buyer in place, or they've already done this or that, or they're telling me everything that, you know, they're giving me information that I can use to say, hey, at the end of the conversation, I can say, hey, maybe you should do this or that, you know, and hey, are you on MLS? You know, because, you know, you can put it on MLS, you know, like I was calling you to just try to help you for free. And then that's when I would kind of say, yeah, use the word free. You know, I was actually just going to call and just see what I could do to help you for no charge. I don't want to do any. I just want to see what I could do to help you. You see, and so it doesn't come from like a scripted calling them up. Hey, you doing this? You doing that? I'm going to send you this. Boom, boom. It's more of a real conversation that kind of I get information. Phone call. The mastery of phone calls, Dan, is reading people and having and learning how to have real conversations with them, not scripted. But knowing how to actually talk to people, listen to how they're talking, what's going on with them, how can we really help them, and finding out what their motivations are, why they're buying, why they're selling, you know, what's the bigger thing going on in their life that's causing them to do this, and focus everything around that. So there's a lot of ways you can go deep with this free thing, you know, from this for sale by owner perspective.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, on the scripts. I mean, I think like an opening line or two or something to break through and get that first question out and get some answers from them is good. But you know, I think after that, if you're just going by some pre-programmed script,
yeah,
you're going to run into trouble a lot because, you know, no, you can't put people in an automatic, you know, system. Like they're going to have different wants, needs, desires, and you need to ask the right questions to figure that out, figure out what their motivations are, what they're afraid of, what they're trying to do, and then tailor your conversation around that. And I think too many people get in this mentality that I can just memorize some script and then regurgitate it, and they're going to give me answers that fit in those boxes. And maybe if you call enough people, but.
Oh, yeah, dude. It was like today, man. They I had a coaching call with a guy, and he was laughing so hard because at the beginning he was laughing at how like cool my scripts are about like what can I do to help you, and he was talking about, you know, how he was taught the old school scripts of, you know, have you thought about selling? They're like, no. They're like, you know, okay, well, if you were to move, where would you move to? And it's like, well, they just told you that they're not thinking about moving or doing anything, you know? Like, that's the most ridiculous question I could ever think of. But, like, whenever you're asking people if they want to buy or sell, if they want to buy, like, hey, have you thought about mine? Thought about moving anywhere? To me, that's almost kind of like invasive. That's kind of like invading people's privacy. Like, you know, I don't know you at all, but will you go ahead and tell me your financial plans for the future? You know, and if you're not interested in doing anything right now, would you mind giving me all the numbers of your friends so that I could maybe see what their plans are? You don't know me at all. I could be a scam artist or something, but, you know, tell me everything about what you got going on for your financial future. It's ridiculous, man. So when you approach it as, you know, hey, how are you doing? I'm enjoying the day. Isn't it gorgeous? Don't want to take up too much of your time. You know, a house around the corner sold. Didn't know if there's anything in the world I could do for you. Now we're creating a friend here. We're talking to them like they're our best friends. See if there's anything we can do for them. And we're going to create this bond with this person. See, the first part of my scripts, the how you doing, enjoying the days, and the gorgeous, don't want to take up too much of your time, is designed to make them feel comfortable in the beginning so that after they tell us they don't want to do anything, we ask them to stay in touch, they'll give us their email address.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. What does your business look like today? So you've been at 100 plus sales since 2014, so like almost 5 years or going on five. How much of that business is buyer business versus listing business? Walk us through that for a little bit.
About, let's see, 2 years ago, 2017, it's always been about 80-20 listings over buyers.
Okay.
You know, forever. It's been 80% listings. But last year, when the market flattened out, we all had to make big adjustments, and I don't refer to myself as a listing or buyer's agent. I'm a real estate agent who really enjoys helping anyone buy or sell. Doesn't matter to me what you want to do. I'm going to show property. I show all my properties. I go to all listing appointments, all closings, all inspections. I do all of that. And now last year was 50-50, 50% buyer, 50% listing. This year so far has been 50-50. So it just kind of flows with the market. You know, whatever the market kind of does. If right now I'm not making near as many phone calls as I used to make, but I've put my time in. I've made those calls. I've created those relationships. I'm doing those. I'm staying in touch, and I've built that database. And I have such a large client database of people that are never going to use another agent that I can afford. Like, it's all I can do to keep up with people I have to follow up with every day. So if the market crashes tomorrow and goes to, you know, two deals a day, then, and it really slows down, which, by the way, today I did my weekly email. Last year up to this point, we had 243 condos closed. This year, we're like 184 so far this year. Huge drop in number.
Now, are you seeing prices go down, or is it just less transactions? Or
they have went down just a little bit, and I don't know. Like, I've seen a couple lower sales. I haven't really seen maybe the trend. I've seen a couple lower sales, but I don't know if, you know, you always have a fluctuate, you know, you always have different things sell for different prices. So only time will tell if it's an actual trend or not. But yeah, man, definitely houses were the same. Houses in my area were the same number of transactions as last year. Yeah. So if the market completely comes to a real, you know, the stock market really crashes or something, and something really bad happens, I'll pick up the phone and start acquiring more market share like we were talking about. You know, now that would actually make me happy because I'll have time to do what I love to do, which is call. I love calling. I'm going to do live calls tomorrow on YouTube. I do calls now live for the coaching students. That's the only time I really do them. And I kind of hate that because I love doing it so much. I'm just so busy, I can't get to it. But yeah, if the market crashes tomorrow, I'm going to be on that phone.
Yeah. And great points about shifting with the market. And, you know, you got to anticipate it, react to it. You can't get locked into one particular mode or method of business. And my hat's off to you on, you know, not only the number of transactions you're doing, 100, but being 50-50 with, you know, buyers and sellers at 100 as a solo agent. I mean, there's teams, you know, and maybe they're not real teams, but there's teams that can't do half that many transactions or don't do that many. So to do that as a solo agent and true solo agent, because there are some solo agents out there that have like pretty big staff, but you know,
yeah.
Category.
I actually have one assistant, and as you can see, her seat is empty, dude. She's on a cruise. She's on a cruise this week. I am one guy right now, dude. I'm handling everything this week. It's been crazy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's you're probably like the highest producing, you know, per person I've ever talked to when it comes to like amount of deals closed and number of people.
I'll tell you something else I'm probably the highest of too. The highest profit, because I don't spend any money on Zillow, Trulia. I don't spend any money, man. Like I use Red X to find my numbers. I spend like $300 or something there, another $150 to send my weekly email out. You know, I do spend maybe a couple grand or so on Facebook, you know, ads. And I'm using the Facebook to build brand, not to get leads. I'm using Facebook to build brand. I don't get a single lead from Facebook. I'm literally throwing that money away just so people know who I am. That's it.
It probably, I bet, makes the people warmer to you when they meet you or you talk to you on the phone or they see your email because they've seen you 10 times on Facebook that week, right?
And that's why I do it. You know, that's the point of building a brand, you know, so they know you, like you, trust you before they even meet you, you know? So it's weird. The Facebook thing is so weird because you throw so much money at it and you don't really get an ROI, but you do build brand and the brand makes you money. Like there's a lot of deals that I can say that came from Facebook. You know, even though I don't get leads from Facebook, I know that they called me and they said, I saw you on Facebook or whatever. So,
yeah, it works. I mean, we met with Gary last year, started implementing some of that stuff. And then people, it didn't do anything for a couple months. And all of a sudden people were like, we see you everywhere. And it,
right.
Plus we had converted better. And we actually did. We have experimented and we're still trying to, with, you know, direct lead sources from Facebook. And I'll tell you this, that it's a lot cheaper than Zillow. Like we can get a seller lead on Facebook for under $30 a lead. And on Zillow, that same lead in my market would cost $300.
Yeah. Yeah.
Facebook, you need to be.
I mean, that's one that I love that. I love that. Get this. Red X Geo leads. You pick the subdivision, you pick the price point, $50, 2,000 leads. And what is a lead, right? A lead is a human being. A lead is somebody in your market. They're going to do something at some point. When you get a Zillow lead or a Facebook lead, you know, they may not do anything for 6 months to a year to 2 years. All of these leads are long-term leads or could be today leads, all of them. So, you know, I'm really kind of to the point where I'm almost tired of agents talking about, I need now business, Ricky. You know, and it's like, there's no such thing. Everything is now business and everything is future. Everything, like an expired they might want to wait 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. A buyer might need to wait 6 months. A for sale by owner may not list for 6 months. You know, what is now business?
I'll tell you what though, if it's an expired and they say, we're going to try again in a year. If you find a buyer and bring it to them, that might change their mind. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. That goes back to what I'm saying. Anything can be stuff from right now and anything can be something for later. The point is, quit trying to say that this is the avenue for now business and this is the avenue for long-term business. It's all the same. You create relationships and see what you can do to help people. Closings are happening every day. Okay. If you're not having closings as often or as soon as you would like, it's because you aren't talking to enough people, period.
Yeah, period. More contacts. I agree with you there. Walk us through the coaching for a minute or two. Like, how does the free coaching work? And if people want to do it, how do they sign up? What do they get? What do you do?
Basically, it's at zerotodiamond.com, 02diamond.com, and it's totally free. You just create an account. Then there's a complete course that I made, really in depth of my an inside look at my business. Then there's a 90-day action plan that goes along with it. Then I do live training twice a month, and I answer every single message and email. I mean, I was on the phone with like three agents this morning, just answering a couple questions in between me doing real estate deals. So, you know, it's a full service coaching program for free.
That's awesome. And I know it's helped you build up a huge following. You've got one of the biggest followings I've seen for a real estate agent on social media. So congrats to that. Before we wrap up, I want to do the hyper fast round for you. So I'm going to fire some questions at you. Just give me your fastest, best answers that you can. All right. Are you ready?
Is this one word answers or is this just any answer?
Any answer.
Any answer.
One word, one sentence, one paragraph, whatever it takes for you.
All right, I'm ready.
All right. Biggest mistake you ever made?
Biggest mistake I ever made was buying so much property, borrowing so much money when the market went really great, borrowing so much money. I had $1.5 million in debt when the market started to come down, and that completely crushed me. Now, I invest with almost all cash on my, I invest all cash on my flips, and I do 30-year mortgages on my long-term rentals. But I'm very, very frugal. Like I really live under my means on those long-term rentals. And I make sure that they're a situation where even if something happens, I feel like that rent's going to pay the note.
Okay. Biggest advice for a new real estate agent starting out.
Do not focus on the deal at all. Completely focus on the person and why they're wanting to do what they're wanting to do, and run with that and go really deep with whatever that bigger reason is. And I promise you that will turn into 10 to 20 deals long term, and you'll still get the deal today.
All right. Same question, but for an experienced established agent.
For an experienced agent, I would say that there's a gray area here between the millennial generation that's really good at tech, and the older generation that is still old school and doesn't want to acknowledge the tech. It doesn't want to admit that the tech is something that's real. And I would say that the most dangerous agent is me. I'm an ex-lineal. I'm right in the middle, and I understand tech. I can use it. I'm really good at it. I'm not as good as some of the younger kids, but I've built my entire business old school. So I've got old school and new school wrapped up into one. And I would say for the older experienced agents that haven't adopted tech yet, just play around with it. Just mess around with it. Do some posts, experiment, and just try.
Yeah, you got to do both. Biggest piece of investing advice?
I would say long-term rentals are huge, because here's something that I don't know how many people actually know this, but it's really simple. I'm sure everybody knows it, but if you don't, here you go. When you put that down payment down on a 30-year mortgage, if that rent is paying the note, that rent is going to pay that property off in 30 years. Now you have a property for just what you had in the down payment. If it pays a little bit more than the note, you put all that money into that LLC account and let that build up for the day you need a new roof or need to paint it or need new carpet or whatever, and you just let that thing eat. And in 30 years, you own a house free and clear.
All right. If you had to start all over and you didn't have anything, didn't have money, and it sounds like you already did this, but you didn't have your following, what would you do?
I would literally start helping for sale by owners for free. That's something you can do for free. You don't have to pay for those leads. You know, you don't have to. If I'm totally broke, I don't have a cell phone. If you're talking like total bottom, I'm going to go knock on those doors and say, hey, I'm here. I want to help you sell this thing for free. I want to work as a team with you to get this sucker sold. Why? Because when you sell it, I want to help you find something to buy, which I don't charge you for that either. And I want you to send all your friends and family to me.
All right.
Every single for sale founder in the area.
This might be a hard one for you to answer. But if we didn't find you working, where would we find you and what would you be doing?
Oh my gosh. I'm doing it. This isn't work to me. Like, here I am, dude. This is it. You would find me right here in this office, man. This is literally not work to me at all. I'm retired. this is what I do. This I'm in retirement.
Yeah, I agree. If you like it, if you love it, if you're having fun, it's not work. All right, man, you've been an awesome guest. This is a great show. Ton of value out there for everyone listening. Before we wrap up, if people want to get in touch with you, reach out to you, get help with buying or selling a home or coaching, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
If you want to do the coaching, it's azerotodiamond.com. Find me on YouTube and Instagram. I answer all the DMs. If you want to buy or sell real estate down in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, or even Perdido Key, Florida, that website's rickycaruthrealestate.com. So find me there and just let me know what in the world I can do for you.
All right, guys. So get in touch with him, Ricky Caruth. He's been an amazing guest. I think there's been more value in this show than most. I hope you guys got a ton out of it. If you did or if you didn't, either way, leave us a review, leave us a comment, let us know what you think. We want the feedback. We want to keep learning how to make this show better and better, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hyper Fat Show. Subscribe to us if you want to make sure you get the latest and greatest Hyper Fat shows. And remember, we love reviews. Reviews help us bring better and better guests, improve our shows, and give us the good, the bad, and the ugly. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.